What's up, everybody? Welcome again to Too Real with Mike and Jillian.
We are back. We missed you last week.
Yes, we did miss you.
Life has been a little bit crazy.
Just a little bit.
Lots of twists, turns, ups, and downs. And unfortunately, we did not pre-record any podcasts, and we just needed to take a week and not do that. But appreciate all your messages. Like, there are times when you're recording a podcast that you're like, does anyone actually listen to this? Like, obviously, we see the analytics, we see the subscribers, all that mumbo jumbo. But But a couple of you reached out like, hey, missed the podcast this week. Hope everything's okay. And like, that means a lot. And it makes us realize that in addition to the feedback you're already giving us, that like, you look forward to listening.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. But we are back.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Our absence leads us right into this week's topic.
Right.
I'm sure we'll hit 10,000 tangents while we're in there. But this week's topic is changes. And this is why I don't sing.
Nope.
I would play the music, but we do not own the rights for it.
That's
so, But we are talking about changes.
Yeah, changes and transitions. Because last week, one of the many things that we had to deal with was my grandmother passed away.
Yes.
And you and I just started reflecting. You know, there are people in your lives that are there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in your lives that are there for a season. And there are people in your lives that are there for a lifetime.
Yes.
And sometimes people leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to talk about just the transitions of life.
Yes.
And sometimes people leave for good reasons, bad reasons, misfortunate reasons. But nonetheless, they do leave. We were just talking to our boys the other day, especially our oldest Chase. He's in that transition of life where he's about to go to college. And we're trying to help him see, like, yo, don't make decisions based off your friends.
Yeah.
And we always remind him, like, you know.
I have one friend from high school that I still talk to.
Right.
And I think you said you have no friends from high school that you still talk to.
No.
I know you have a bunch of friends from college.
But
high school. But so we're like, don't let your friend group decide your path.
Right.
Like, do you, boo-boo.
Right, right. And not in a careless way. Like, you know, care for your friends and, you know, hook them up when you can. But, like, to make these life decisions, like, what college you're going to go to, you know, and to make sure that your friends are okay and not really take care of your stuff, it's tough. And so because they're going to leave. Some of them aren't going to stick around because some people are there for a reason. Some people are there for a season. Some people are there for a lifetime. What's your friend Stacy's been there since
seventh grade. We've been best friends since seventh grade.
Yeah.
She's a ride or die.
And my best friend, he's been in my life ever since freshman year of college.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of dude that he and I pick up right where we leave off. Right. He moved around, you know, across the world, literally.
Yeah.
And we could go for like 2 months without talking and no sweat off of each other's backs. We just pick up right where we leave off.
Yeah.
And so, and I know that's how your friendships are.
Oh, absolutely.
As well.
It has to be if
you have this understanding of how.
I mean,
Stacy
and I have weeks where we just exchange memes on Instagram daily, but we don't have like an actual conversation. And then we have moments where like we're on the phone for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it's funny, there's memes that go around like, are they really your best friend if you see them more than twice a year?
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. Like the season of life and stuff like that. Like her and I see each other in person, not as often as you would think, but there's constant communication in one way or another, whether it be surface level or super deep.
Right.
But that that depth of relationship really allows for that, you know?
And I think it's natural. I think we need to give people the freedom to go, it's okay to that you have those good relationships that are there for a lifetime, right? But then you have the relationships that you build at work or at school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that those relationships are shallow or those relationships are meaningless, but like it's easy to have a relationship when you're in proximity, when you're like constantly with that individual. So I have relationships at work, right?
Mm-hmm.
We meet with people like Rob and Steve and Efren on a weekly basis, right?
Yeah.
And so it's easier to have that connection.
Yeah, because the proximity is
right,
there.
You're always with each other.
Yeah.
But then if things happen and they're not around, some people walk away and go, was that a real relationship? Yeah, it was a real relationship, but life will take you in different directions.
Yeah, like I have people that I've worked with in the past in the mortgage industry that I would sit next to, and it was like they were like my person to get through the workday, right. You know. But then once you didn't work there anymore, like you didn't that relationship kind of faded. Not that it wasn't that way, and like I'll randomly see people like that here and there, and like it's like, oh hey, how are you? Like, you know what I mean? Like you catch up, and it's cool. But it doesn't mean that, again, it doesn't mean that that wasn't a relationship, and it doesn't mean that something necessarily happened. It's just life.
Right.
Yeah, it's that season.
Right. I do think sometimes the whole, like, that's my work wife or my work husband, it could be a little unhealthy.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Do they still do that? Like,
I don't know. I haven't been in the corporate world in like 7 years. Like,
how does your real wife feel about that?
Yeah. But then also, like, you can have friends come in and out. Depending upon seasons, you know, I had a friend that we were pregnant together and our kids started to grow up together. And then there was a little like tiff that happened. And so we didn't talk for a few years, but then like life started coming back around and I really felt it on my heart that I wanted to like reach out and apologize to her for that. And we apologized, like we talked it out. We had that moment and now it's like we're super cool again and like she's one of my go-to people. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how people can also go in and out.
Yeah. So in that transition, there's many types of those transitions that'll happen in your life. There's voluntary and involuntary. There's planned and unplanned transitions. Mm-hmm. There's good and there's bad reasons why people leave.
Yeah.
And so like when someone leaves for a good reason, it could still be like, there could still be heartache, but you know, like it's a good reason. Like example, I know we're beating this dead horse, but like our son going to college, right? That's a good reason.
It is. And right? I actually, when we had lunch with him after church on Sunday, I said, I know that I say to you, like, I'm going to be devastated when you leave. Like I'm not ready. Da, da, da. And it's not that those things aren't true. But at the same time, I said, I want you to know I'm excited for you. I'm happy for you. Like, I know what this next stage of life is going to be like for you. And I can't wait to watch it. And yeah. I can't wait to be there for you. So as much as it's going to break my heart to walk past his room and him not be there and know, like, the next time he'll be home is, like, Thanksgiving. I'm also, like, I can't wait to sit front row and watch and see how his, like, life unfolds.
Yeah. But it's still going to be sad.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
Right.
It's good, but sad.
Right. And then sometimes it's bad and sad.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it just really sucks. It's misfortunate. And that still has an impact on your life.
Yeah.
And I think every leader's temptation is to allow your heart to get hardened every time somebody leaves.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to be real. As a pastor doing this for multiple decades, you could go from someone saying, oh my gosh, you're the best pastor ever. And then a month later, I'm out.
Yeah.
And after the temptation is to be like, okay, like I'm never trusting.
Yeah.
I'm not risking.
Yep.
I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that.
Keeping my circle really small.
Yeah. Keeping my circle really small. Keeping everyone at arm's length. And I think that's foolish because I think that we're still supposed to learn A, to forgive. Mm-hmm. B, to keep on taking risk. Mm-hmm. Some of the best people in my life, are people that I took risk on, right? And the people that are still here are people that I took risk on, right? Mm-hmm. Not all risks turn out.
Yeah.
But you still got to take risk. I think anyone who's successful, anyone who aspires to do great things, the moment you stop taking risk is the moment you stop achieving greatness.
Yeah.
And
I think when you have that temptation to keep your circle small, to not trust anybody, you're not finding healing in those areas. Mm-mm. Like you are not allowing, like, it's, and we don't talk about church much on here, but you just talked about on Sunday, you preached on pain. And one of the big points that I really took away from it was pain is not a teacher, pain is a classroom.
Yeah.
So even though through transitions, they may hurt and they may make you want to isolate and make you want to not trust people and like keep people away, you're not learning from that. Mm-hmm. There's always something to learn in any transition.
Right.
And sometimes you need to work through those emotions. You need to work through the grief process because there is grief involved in it, regardless of what type of change you're talking about. But there's always like moments for growth. And I think a lot of times we push those away and we just sit in our isolation and we sit in what we think is protecting us. And it's actually not protecting us. It's hurting us.
Yeah. I didn't have a chance to go, you mentioned the sermon, so I want to pick your brain, being the First Lady of Fervent.
Oh my goodness, I know hate you love that title.
But like, what is it? I didn't have a chance to explain this, but I would love to hear your take on it. What happens when we, you know, I do agree with myself. Pain is a classroom. Truth should be your teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when we allow pain to be the teacher?
We allow pain to be the teacher. Just like I said, you're not learning from the opportunity. You're going to continue to live a small life. You're not going to have any sort of awareness. Whatever you're feeling in that moment, if you allow pain to just be the teacher and not the classroom, you're reaffirming that that's the truth,
right?
Not the actual experience right. itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
I think you'd easily buy into lies and
yeah.
you'd easily go into protection mode, right?
Yeah.
When pain's the teacher, like, when anything in our body hurts, your body compensates for it.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't want to feel that pain anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you go into protect mode.
Yeah.
And the problem with protect mode is that you're protecting yourself from pain, but there's not, you don't have an intelligent filter on your protection, meaning like you also protect yourself from pleasures.
Yeah.
Right. And so I've watched a lot of people who have been hurt their whole lives shelter themselves,
mm-hmm.
go into like hermit crab mode.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're protecting yourself from pain, sure, but you're also not living life anymore.
Yeah, like aka me the past 2 weeks. Like, I can't tell you how many people I've had DM me on social media like, are you okay? Like, mm-hmm. It's radio silent over there.
Yeah.
And because I did like shut down and isolate myself. And here's why you should allow pain to be a classroom. Because I was isolating myself from one friend in particular, and because I thought, I can't trust anyone, I need to protect. And when I finally came out of that fog, I went to her and I apologized. And I don't even know that she realized that I was doing it, but I was just like, you know what, I just want to apologize to you. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
I was protecting myself. I was in this like zone, and that's not fair to you, and you've always been a great friend to me, and so I want to apologize for that. And just that, like, that healing for myself, but also that growth in our relationship from that point forward, I think as well. I think it showed me that like there is value in like apologizing, and there it also showed her that like I'm going to keep it real and I do value our relationship, and I will come to you if there are things that are like, if it feels weird, you know
yeah,
what I mean? Does
right.
that, I always ask if that makes sense, because like in my head it makes sense, but then sometimes like I go a mile a minute because I'm a verbal processor.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes like I feel like my words aren't linear. So that's why I'm like, does that make sense?
No, I think it makes sense. I think people definitely could empathize with that experience.
Yeah.
Right? But you're climbing out of that experience.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Because people leave.
Yeah.
And sometimes, they leave because of a mistake that we've made.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with that in organizations. We deal with that in relationships. But the opportunities that are in front of us are all about growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we learn to grow and we can understand, okay, if those are opportunities to grow, that's why some people are there in your life for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They were there to help you grow in an area, or you were there to help them grow in an area,
mm-hmm.
or a season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think seasons are okay.
Yeah.
I've been saying this a lot lately, but like, you don't have to hate someone to break up with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there are times where just like, okay, we've hit the cap. We've hit the limit,
mm-hmm.
on how much I could help you grow, how much you could help me grow. It's time for a change.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing.
No.
It's not a bad thing. Even when it comes to churches, like, I hate it when people are like, all the Christian people could definitely empathize with this statement. When you hear the people go, well, God told me to leave, right? Or God told me to come here. And like, we paint God out to be like this schizophrenic that's changing his mind constantly, right?
Holding strings.
Yeah, you know, like, and it doesn't work that way. And
yeah.
I think I wish just people didn't have to validate or justify them leaving or coming. By God said, just like, yo,
just own your actions and own your thoughts and your feelings and your opinions.
Right.
Like, I would have more respect if you were just like, you know what, this just isn't for me anymore.
And that's fine.
That's totally fine. But like, to make up,
you so much
to
more.
Make up all these other things rather than just saying what it truly is,
right.
is like,
hey, Pastor Mike, I've been praying and processing and the Lord's leading me away. Oh, word?
Just
because
say, just say you don't.
3 months ago, you just said the Lord was leading you to stay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just put your big girl panties on and freaking say what it is.
Right.
That's so frustrating to me sometimes. Because I'm a very direct person. I'm very blunt. If I don't feel the confidence to say what I'm really thinking or feeling, I won't say anything at all.
Yeah.
I won't make up some story just to like make myself feel better and get the result that I want. I'd rather be honest, like, because my integrity is important to me.
Yeah. And that we've also seen times, and not we've seen, I've also done it where like it's easier to almost villainize someone or something to justify me just saying I'm just not feeling it anymore.
And this is not has to do with changes, but like an example of villainization. Like there are times, for example, last week we went to Cineholic for the first time, which is like crazy. And I'm looking at these two, Mike and one of our children, actually both of our children, because the other one came right over to meet us, and they're all going ham on these cinnamon buns. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it because that cinnamon bun is going to destroy my life. But then I took Mike there last night trying to cheer him up because we are both emotional eaters. And I had one and I like villainized the cinnamon bun. All night, my stomach was bothering me. And I was just like, it was that cinnamon bun's fault. Da-da. No, it was my fault. I didn't have to eat it. And I was there last week and I didn't eat it. And it was fine. Just freaking own your crap. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a ridiculous example, but.
Yeah, because we want to blame on something.
Nobody wants to take responsibility for their own actions.
Just, hey, I'm not feeling it anymore. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And so those are lessons that we're learning from it. But I think as you continue to grow, as you continue to mature, you need to be able to ask yourself the right questions when someone leaves your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be, you know, like I said, we just experienced somebody passing away in our family or someone leaving your organization, someone leaving your company, you know, what are some of the questions that you need to ask yourself? So I think the first question, and I think it's simple, but I think it's good awareness, is to ask, why did they leave? And then take the time to understand the reasons behind their departure, right?
Can I disagree with you on this point?
Uh-oh.
I don't think this should be the first question you ask.
Why not?
My question might tie with yours. I think the first question that you should ask is, what is my responsibility? What am I responsible for? And maybe you do need to identify why they left first, but I think sometimes your weaknesses.
That's the last question.
Yeah, it should not be the last question. That should be up top.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's important because as you're walking through the why did they leave, your emotions and everything can come into that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can rationalize why they left because it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Rather than looking to what you can own in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I know recently we have. Okay, so this is why it should be number two, because everyone's an emotional person, and you're going to respond emotionally at first. And that's normal, and that's okay as long as it's done in a healthy way. So once you work through the emotions, I think your first question should be, what am I responsible for here? Because a lot of times in those emotions, we can put everything on that other person and not reflect and have self-awareness and in your part. And there are times that we could, if we're the type of person that just likes to beat ourselves up, we could also put all of the blame on ourselves, which is not fair either.
No.
Codependent people, raise your hands, right here. We do that a lot. We like to, like, if you're in a bad mood, the first question I'm asking myself is, why is he in a bad mood? Did I do something? And I'm like, it's something I have to consciously work on. Like his mood is not my responsibility most of the time. So let's work through the emotion first of like what the issue is. And then let's see what I can own in it. So I kind of jacked up all of your points. So you can just jump right back in.
That's why this is too real. We're just going to flesh it out. I agree with you. But in order to own what you're supposed to own, I guess maybe the better question would be not why did they leave, but what's the reality of this event, right? Because if not, you might, like you just said, you might own the things you're not supposed to own.
Yeah.
Or you might blame them for things they're not supposed to be blamed for. Like, what's the reality here? So kind of take a moment to dissect, to process what's actually at work here.
Yeah.
Because the reason people give you sometimes it's never isn't the real answer. Reason that they left, right? Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, you're breaking up with someone. It's not you, it's me. I'm just not attracted to you anymore. You know what I mean? Or some stupid thing like that. To understand, okay, let's... And that requires conversation. That requires contemplating, meditating on it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I'm going to keep on shouting out this book because I'm going to read it again once I'm done reading this version or this time. It's called No Excuses, A Power of Discipline. And today's chapter was Discipline and Problem Solving. And when a problem arises, the author said, you need to ask the question, what is the problem, 20 times.
Mm.
Because the problem is never the first
yes.
time. You need to keep on. Okay. And for example, like it's in the business aspect of the book. So the problem is, why are sales low? Well, sales are low because we're not doing this. Sales are low because this company's doing that. Sales are low. Da, da, da. And as you work through the 20 questions, you can go back and you can look at all of the answers and be able to like really like pinpoint what you're looking at there.
Yeah.
And I thought that was like really key because a lot, like you said, what the problem is, and I use those finger quotes, is normally not the actual problem because people are afraid to just say what it is.
Right.
And yeah, so I think by keep on asking, well, what is the problem? Well, what is the problem? Well, what is the problem? And seeing that list of answers can help you really pinpoint.
Right. All right. So together, let's I think the first question should be like, what's the reality of this event?
Mm-hmm.
Right. To find out the truth first, then to own what you need to own.
Yeah.
And then I think it's also wise to ask yourself, like, were there any warning signs?
Mm.
Right. Because I think as leaders, as you're growing as a leader, and not in a fearful way, I'm not trying to add more like evidence to feed your fear, but more evidence to feed your awareness, right? What were the warning signs when you look back and to see, were there any things that you missed or ignored?
Mm-hmm.
I always say this, for me, in my experience, things go silent before they go sour.
Yeah.
So when you start seeing someone pull away, not say much, not engage, disconnect, that's always a good sign to be like, hey, what's up?
Something's up. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, to ask yourself, what were the warning signs?
Yeah.
And then, you know, what reverse engineer it. What could I have done differently?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So for that example, like when you feel like someone's pulling away and I get it, like life's busy. And you can't track everyone. It's impossible. Even if you're a leader of an organization of five people, it is impossible to keep tabs on five people, let alone hundreds of people. And that's why there's layers of leadership. That even in, there's the CEO, like it goes down in layers because it's impossible to keep track of that many people.
Mm-hmm.
But have you, your team, whatever, on the lookout when someone withdraws. Jump on that immediately.
Right.
Because you can get busy in the throes of life. That's where that little tangent came from. You can get busy and you can be like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll check on them tomorrow. And here's a month later and you're like, oh crap. Like that flu, I never checked in and now it's even bigger than it was.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. And so to go reverse engineer, I think is really important. And then to also say like, how can I prevent similar departures in the future?
Yeah.
Right? I think that's a great question to ask, something that I've been asking myself, like, how can I avoid this? And this is where you kind of get to look at and identify what are the common themes, what are the patterns? Because if we look at even like, here's a slice of humble pie on my behalf, looking at some of the transitions or turnover that we've had on our staff, there's some patterns.
Yeah.
That patterns that speak to number one, like, hey, this is maybe a vulnerability of mine, or these are the types of people that fit in our organization, and these are the type of people that don't fit in our organization, right? And to own that pattern, to ask yourself, is this a healthy pattern? Is this not a healthy pattern? But to learn, how can I prevent this in the future if it's preventable?
Yeah, and not just looking at it on your own to see, like, common themes or patterns, like, talk to people around you who are in it with you because we all have blind spots.
Yep.
And we're lucky that we do have people in our lives that are like in our immediate circle that do day-to-day life with us, or people that like they're like the next layer, but we have them to speak into those areas, because we're like, we don't know it all.
Right.
What do you see in here? Like, yeah. Because there are times where I look at Mike and I'm like, are we crazy? Like, are we like completely oblivious? Like what? And to have those people that, number one, we've given authority to be like, no, tell us, like, tell, don't sugarcoat it. Mm-hmm. Don't sandwich method me. Just tell us.
Yeah.
And they are confident in giving it to us, like straight up, like, nah, you know, like I could see this.
Yep.
That's on you, boo boo. Right. And you're like, I own that. I see that, you know?
Yep. And I think the last question is to what else can I learn from this experience?
Yeah.
So one of the things I'm going to do with our staff is just sit around when we talk about the patterns and go, hey, what are the similarities of people who leave and people who stay?
Mm-hmm.
What are the differences between people who leave? And is that healthy? What do we need to adjust? Because I think wisdom, here's your nugget for today. Wisdom doesn't come from experience alone.
No.
People just think, I went through an experience, therefore I'm wise. Wisdom doesn't come from experience. Wisdom comes from evaluated experience. Mm-hmm. If you don't take the time to evaluate your experiences, mm-hmm. you're not wise. You're jaded sometimes. And again, that's when pain becomes a teacher and not the classroom.
I think evaluate experience and your next steps.
Yeah.
Because you could evaluate your experience, but still keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So your evaluated experience and your next steps, how you go on from there.
Right.
I think that's really good.
Yeah. To activate the wisdom.
Yeah.
Is a whole another level of leadership.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
Awesome.
Well, we did it.
We did it. We spoke about it. We dropped it.
But thank you guys for listening today. Whether you're a leader of an organization, a parent, a friend, anything, you know, this could apply to any area of your life. You don't have to be in the same roles as we are. But I think there are some nuggets that you can pull out of that. I think awareness is key. I think that evaluated experience and action from there is super important. And at the end of the day, we just want to see you grow.
Yeah.
And we're growing alongside of you. That's why this is called Too Real. Like, we do not claim perfection. We're learning day by day and just keeping ourselves open to those moments. So we hope that you had some of those moments alongside us today. So be sure to check us out. We're on YouTube if you want to see our smiling faces. You can watch the video format of this. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. I don't know what else.
All of them.
All of them.
iHeartRadio.
All the things.
All the things.
All the things. We usually link up our anchor page so you can click that page and click whatever podcast platform you want.
It's
called Anchor for Spotify or something like that.
It's called Podcasters for Spotify.
Are you sure?
Man, we're botching this ending.
Whatever it's called, there are options for you. But while you're there, be sure to hit subscribe, share it with a friend, post it. Let us know what part of this hit you hard, what you have questions about. We want to hear it all. And we will see you back here next Wednesday. Too Real.
Too Real.
See you guys.
See ya. Peace.